Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Welcome to In the Now with Jim Swilly. So glad to have our good friend Robert Rutherford with us. Would you please welcome Roberto. Those of you that are watching on the YouTube channel, this is part three of our little series called The Vibration of Life. You might want to go back to the YouTube page and look at parts one and two to give you a reference point. I could tell you this, it will not be like anything else you have heard along these topics. What we're saying today is a new and a fresh word. We won't put up on the screen again, but the scripture we're using is the last part of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, where Paul says, in the King James, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We looked at it from the International Standard Version that says the written text kills. And then we went further into the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament, which really sort of expounded on that. Something you said last time made me think about this idea of manna in the wilderness when God gave them a word every day. It's kind of like when Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. He gave them a word every day. And as you know, the word manna is not a word. It's a question. It means, what is it? And they never knew what it was. And they if they ever tried to bottle it, contain it, it would be full of worms. And really, I'm not saying the Bible's full of worms. I'm saying trying to contain the Word of God that is supposed to be a daily word. But worms, that's the sign of death. I mean, when you talk about where the worm dieth not, it's talking about it's a place where there's death.
That's right.
So, I mean, those are extreme concepts, but they're the things that even Jesus said. You know, you're whitewashed sepulchres full of dead men's bones, or you could just easily say full of worms. So every day you find that word. The series I'm doing this month, I didn't get from the Bible. I got from a bumper sticker because I was having a really stressful day, and I was real distracted, pulled up behind a car, and the bumper sticker just said, you are here. Marty told me that's the name of a book that you're reading. I didn't know that. I wasn't aware of that. I actually used the guy's quote that wrote that book, but I didn't know it. But for me that day, God spoke through a bumper sticker to me, first of all, to say, stop being so distracted in traffic because you just nearly ran through a red light because you're too preoccupied with stuff. But also, if anybody knows about the concept of now, I mean, I built a ministry on that, you know, the concept of now. How do you receive a now word? I mean, it's not something that you can. Have you ever figured it out? I've never figured out inspiration.
Oh, yes, I know.
I mean, really, it's, like with preaching, there's never been a formula for me. It'll be like something somebody's talking to me or something, and it's just like, oh, there it is. There's a glory on that. I'm like, oh, there's the word. But I don't know how to make it happen.
It's like walking through a maze to me. I mean, even when I'm talking, I'll be going down a certain road, and you can just kind of feel a dead end coming up, and you know to turn around and take the other path. And we won't call it chasing rabbits, but it ends up being that sometimes. But there's a set path, and you don't know it ahead of time. To me, the greatest inspiration, I can speak personally, is what I don't know. It's just like I wanted to prepare so desperately for this and have all my notes in place and whatnot, and you wouldn't let me, and you gave me the wrong topic, and now... I'm sure that wasn't to make you look smarter than me, but I've no idea what we're talking about. But no, but to find that freshness, you know, right now. I mean, I will eat your Publix deli cake, but if you've got a fresh one coming out of the oven and I can smell it and it's still warm, then I want that one. I want that one and that fresh baked bread. And to know that, you know, we can all read a Bible verse right now, but look at these epistles you have in this room, and they've experienced life. I see some folks in here with gray hair. They haven't discovered hair dye, apparently. But that means that they have acquired some wisdom. That means that I'm about half gray. But they have acquired wisdom in their life that I want to know. There's a living word in there. Whatever I'm going through tomorrow, one of them has already been through it. And if we can get over a glass of wine and a chili dog or something, it's likely that the subject will come up and I will hear a living word that will already be my answer before I have to even face the trial tomorrow that's going to require an answer. And I just love that. If we'll enjoy the unions that are placed in our midst and learn to appreciate the oneness and the body that we are, everybody in this room, I don't need an answer outside this room. There's nothing I'll ever face in my life that y'all don't already know the answer to or have the strength for or could give me the counsel necessary to walk through it in victory. It's right here. And today, in the now, right here, the word I need to hear, I didn't come to say a word. I came to hear a word because, and I may hear myself say it, and that happens often, but it's here. There's a living word. To think that there's an energy force, God, universe, power that created 500 billion galaxies. Imagine that. And do you know scientists now say that there's 40 billion Earth-like inhabitable planets out there somewhere with the correct temperature and whatnot, that life could exist in 40 billion different planets. Now imagine something that big that created that. Do like a Google map and zoom down from 500 billion to just the 40 billion. Now zoom down to our solar system, which is pretty big. Now zoom down to Earth. Now the God that created all that, now we're going to zoom down to the Middle East. And now we're going to zoom down to Israel. And now we're going to zoom down to a marketplace where two guys are haggling over the price of a goat. And that's his chosen people. And that's the ones he chose to express who he was or who she was to the entire whole big ball of wax. When you look at it like that, it kind of loses its, you know, because this thing is so much bigger. We prophesy in part. The Bible is a tiny speck of prophecy in the voice that is speaking so loudly through everything. I wrote a post yesterday. I went walking in the woods yesterday and found an old oak stump. And I stood up on top of this oak stump and I just looked around me. And I lifted my arms up in the air and the neighbors called 911. But they can't see me. I lifted my arms up in the air like limbs, and I stood there, and I went north, south, east, and west, looking and observing around me at all the amazing life that was in those woods. And I could have sat home and read Proverbs 2 and probably dug some life out of there. But as I looked, I saw other oak trees that probably were offspring from that oak tree. I saw the tree wasn't visible, just the stump, so it had long ago rotted into the ground and had become nutrients for all those little plants that were there within my reach. I thought about the birds and the squirrels and the animals that had lodged in her branches at whatever point she was alive, maybe 200 years ago. And I wept. I stood there naked on that tree stump. I stood there fully clothed, I'm sorry, on that tree stump. And experienced all that life, and spirit within me spoke to me and energized me so much. I did. I wept. And I offered a praise with my lifted up limbs, a praise not to a Jewish grandpa sitting on a fancy right. chair flying through outer space, right. but to the source of life yes. of us all, to the energy and the power yes. that's around us and in all things. And in everyone and in everything, it's in the barking of my dog, that life and that power is in the growing of my plants. It's, you know, Robbie Joe.
The heavens declare the glory of God.
Yes, all over. Yeah, that.
No, keep going. I'm
good.
I'm tuned in. Well, what did you plant? This is what I told you we were going to talk about.
Oh, I'm kidding. Yeah, yeah. This is that exactly. Yeah, no, I didn't plan anything.
No, that was so.
No, I quit planning, really. I quit planning
a long
time ago.
Well, and that's why I don't like to overplan this.
I agree
100%. Because I like this.
Yeah, I'm more confident in my notes. I used to be, but now it's a blessing not to plan anything. And even when I was pastor, I pastored for 30 years, and inevitably whatever I studied would not be what I ended up preaching. It might be a foundation to jump off right. of or something like that. Sit, look at me gravitating towards you over here. We're agreeing now.
A lot of times, I know you know this, but... I learned a long time ago, if I go off on a tangent, I just go ahead and
go with it
because somebody's pulling that out of me.
Absolutely.
And it'll always inevitably somebody will come up to me afterwards and go, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. Like one time, at Church of the Now, I, for some reason, I don't know how I worked it into my sermon, but I had everybody, sing the Pips part on Midnight Train to Georgia. And I was making a point, I think, about memorization and what's
Love
familiar
it.
To yeah. you. And I said, yeah. we all know the Pips. And, of course, everybody from my generation was singing it. And somebody afterwards said, we nearly passed out when you said that because we were planning on moving to California and God just had spoken to us in the last few hours about not going and had spoken to us through Midnight Train to Georgia. Mm-hmm. And when we heard those trumpets come on, they said we couldn't believe what a confirmation it was. Now, other people... would have thought, oh, well, they're just being silly and laughing. Even in all of your, you're such a, you know how to plow up stuff. I mean, I've watched you do this for years. You'll come in and you'll say something a little bit shocking, and then it plows up, the seed is planted. Before you know it, you're like, oh, I can't believe you said that, but a seed just got planted. I don't even know you, I don't want you to overthink it, because I don't know that you realize you do it. But you definitely just go through and you know, it's like
taking
a machete and cutting through and exalting every valley and bringing every mountain brought low. Well, let me ask you this in our closing minutes. I know that even back in some of our limited times, I know I experienced God with you on many occasions. You know, we've been in some services where the parts of it you can nearly make fun of, and we have. And then in the middle of it, there would be something so authentic.
Yeah.
And that's part of rightly dividing, saying, all right, well, that part was a little bit silly, but man, that one little
you
part
can't
in
deny
there.
The reality of
and
that
I know,
alive.
Right,
you
we
can't.
Weren't just making that stuff
no,
up.
No, no, no.
So is God just as real to us now? I mean, can we still have that now? I don't see you as often as I used to, but and yet we end up communicating probably more because social media has kind of reformed the universe. You know, like even people that you don't talk to every day, you're aware of them, and you kind of know what they're going through. Are we ever going to have that again, or do we have something better? I mean, do we know the presence of God now, or was that just a season of time? And like, I look back even, you know, we were very connected to the faith movement. Well, all those guys like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, come to find out they were very influenced by E.W. Kenyon, who now a lot of those people have dismissed because they say he was a mystic.
New age, yeah.
And he went to the Emerson School, Ralph Waldo Emerson School. So to me, that makes him more, I'm more attracted to that, because mysticism is not a bad word for me. But those things about speaking to the mountain and you have what you say, I believe those now more than ever. I've got a little physical issue going on. It's not life-threatening, but it's obnoxious. And I don't say anything about it just because I feel like the more you talk about it, have you ever seen those word clouds and you see the whatever becomes the dominant word, and I just don't want to talk about it. I'm doing what I can to tinnitus. I mean, just I'm dealing with that and taking medication for it, but it's really because you can't get away from it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm feeling it right now, but I don't want to talk about it because I want to minimize it, and maybe I didn't plan on ever saying that publicly, but okay.
We have oils for tinnitus.
Okay.
We do oils.
All right. Well, I'm actually did just feel a little better just then. It honestly just lessened a little bit. Anyway, the point is, I believe you have what you say. I believe I'm glad that I came from the background of the gifts of the Spirit. I love that, and I've been with Robert, especially at a certain time in our lives where we were kind of in this area of the city a lot. We'd be out socially with a group of people, not talking about God at all. I mean, these people didn't even know we were ministers. And in the middle of it, I'd say, "Hey, Robert, prophesy to this guy," and it would be like, you know, they deal with people with multiple personalities. Like, he would go into this other thing, and he'd start telling. He said, "Well, when you were 7 years old, you were, you know," and the person would start crying. And it was just amazing to me how that would happen. And I used to do it sometimes just to make sure I could still get there. You know what I mean? Like, I can still find where that is, and I don't have to do it through the traditional route of, you know, whatever the performance I used to go through in my prayer life. I don't pray all that much. I'm telling you, I don't spend hours locked away in prayer. I even thought about doing a fast for January, and I used to do it all the time. I just didn't feel a witness on it. And but I can still, I can be in the presence of God. I don't have to get in the Spirit. I live in the Spirit. I am Spirit. I am always connected. The only time I'm never disconnected, sometimes there's a perception of disconnection, but it's not reality. We're always connected. We're always spirit. That's why when somebody says, what is God saying to the church? I'm like, well, what day is it? I don't know. I mean, there's not any and which part of the church is he talking to? What he'd be saying to me may be something entirely different. What he'd be saying to you?
It's different now because it's like I love to go on cruise ships and take vacations there because the cell phone doesn't work and it's everything's there. I just really enjoy cruise ship vacations. And when you get there, one of my favorite things to do is to explore the boat and to go and check out this dining room and that showroom and that, you know, to go on every level and look at everything you can look at. And as you're discovering those different parts of the boat, it's just cool to me. I find something beautiful in each part. But then to become the boat, and I think we've become the boat, and it's no longer the bar on the Lido deck that is so, you know, wonderful to us, or it's not just the show down on, you know, deck number 5, that we know that we are the boat, and at any time we can access anything that ever was real. It's all just as real today, and at any time we can tap into it because we are it. And it's no longer something it used to be, and at least in my own life, that I had to work up to it or get all, like, I'd have to meditate and get all the worship music just right and have no, you know, nothing going on in my life. Now, you know, on the way up, I planned to meditate and pray, but we didn't meditate and pray. We argued over biscuits and, you know, tried to get all the crumbs off the baby that she got all over herself. And I said, slow down 53 times. We had no worship music. We had some secular demonic music playing. But... You don't have to plan it. You don't have to set up. It's not a show anymore. It's not what we do. It's who we are. And when you make that transition and it becomes not, and we did some amazing things and experienced God, power, energy on a level that I would not trade anything for. But I know now the reality is what I was experiencing is me, the manifestation of all that is within me. And I can do that anywhere, alone, at any time. And I do think there is coming a day when we're going to begin to see more outward manifestations. We worship we know not what. We're at that place again. Jesus was sharing that with his boys one day, and he said, y'all don't even know what you worship. The time has come that we're going to worship the Father. And that's the first time he'd ever talked about this thing being family. It was the awesome God creator who would kill you if your goat touched his mountain. But now, it's much closer than that. And he talked to them about we're going to worship something that is of our own DNA. We're a father, wow. Something that's so close to us that it's not an out there somewhere foreign, scary thing that's untouchable and unreachable and that you're walking on eggshells to make sure you please. It's not that anymore. And we still, even those of us who are enlightened or awake or whatever we like to pridefully call ourselves, we still worship we know not what, and we're kind of at a loss. And so we've sort of lost the pizzazz of worship and praise, which I thoroughly enjoy. I can still cry to the Gaithers and sing you know, harmony right with those old songs, even when I don't. Get down off your cross, we need the wood.
That's awesome.
Woo! I like that. But I can still sing the old Rugged Cross too. I can. And I can still cry over these old hymns and stuff because it reminds me of a time when I was experiencing the life, and I can't throw that out of my world. Right. I can't, and I don't want to. I want to include that in a world where the revelation is progressing at, I believe, a rapid pace. And I think some things are changing in the world. Like, this world is not what it was 6 months ago. And in 6 months, honey, you better watch because it's fixing to change some more. Not necessarily for the good. But I believe in the spirit we're seeing things rapidly change as well. And I do believe we're going to come to a greater knowledge and a greater revelation and perception. It's already there. It's already, like, I don't do any self-improvement things. I'm good enough. I finally came to the conclusion I don't want to be any better. I even wrote a song a while back. It says, somebody lied and told me that I wasn't perfect. And that's, somebody lied and told me that I lacked something. I don't. I have everything I need.
Who told you you were naked? God says that.
Yeah, exactly. Who told you were naked? We've never been naked. We never fail. We never needed help back up. We never had to ask anybody.
The only
anywhere.
Reason Jesus had to come to the cross is because we thought we were disconnected.
Absolutely.
Because the same God,
alienated.
The same God that had told Adam, whatever you call the animals, I'll call him.
Oh, yeah.
When Adam called himself naked and afraid, he's like, oh.
Okay, you're naked and afraid.
Well, all right. That wasn't the plan, but yeah.
I believe the next phase of this thing, I believe, is where we're going to escape the duality of even having us here and God somewhere else. I believe even in our, and I'm watching this happen even in my language as I'm talking, I'm trying to not separate, because we're not separate. Even Jesus said, the Father and I are one. I mean, y'all looking for God, hello. It's me, and I'm not killing people. You know, I'm not marginalizing people because they're not Jews. I'm not, you know, I'm accepting women. They're rubbing their hair on my feet. And, you know, he was that picture of the Father. He said, in fact, we're the same. The word one there is not just like the number that starts off the 1, 2, 3 thing. It means the same. I am the Father is basically what he said. We have to come to that. And not in a prideful, arrogant, I am God, but you are. And you are so one with God that I believe what's happening in my mind, at least, is the duality of me talking to a God to get him to do something for me is kind of going by the wayside.
Well, we got to wrap it up. But I remember this has been a year and a half ago now. We were doing some tapings of In the Now here. Doc was part of it. And you talked to me on the phone. You were having some car trouble. You were in Waco. And you said, it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to get there. And I said, you're Robert Rutherford. You're going to be here. And I didn't need to pray for you.
I knew it then.
I said, you can do anything. And sure enough, he was here right on time. It wasn't a prayer. I didn't have to say, Father, in Jesus' name, please.
No.
I just said, I spoke to you. That's what prayer is. And I want to end with this. You were talking about Jesus saying we worship what we know not. He said that to the woman at the well in John chapter 4 too. And it was in that where he says, go call your husband. She says, I don't have one. She told the truth. And he said, the Father is looking for people like you who will worship in spirit and truth.
That's right.
And she wasn't put off by it. She ran to the next town and said, come meet a man who told me everything I ever did. You know, that I've seen, and you and I both know, ministers who could not tell certain truths that we've told, that we paid a price for. We've seen it in suicide. We've seen it in manifesting cancer.
Yeah.
I just want to say our stories are similar, but they're not the same. But I'm proud of you. I'm proud that you're living in your truth. I'm proud that you have influence. I'm proud that you're here today. I wanted you to see he's not my friend Robert Rutherford. He's my Robert Rutherford. Yeah, I have a Robert Rutherford, and I wanted him to be here. And you're always welcome. But I just applaud you. We've always been truth tellers, but it took us a while to tell the rest of the truth.
And that was okay.
But now it's like the Father's looking for people that worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm not afraid. I don't have anything to hide. My life is an open book. I've told it all, and I want to live out the rest of my days in the liberty that comes from, you know, knowing that spirit. I want to walk in the spirit. I am walking in the spirit, and you are too.
Thank you.
This has been fantastic. Once again, tell Robert how much we appreciate it. I love you.
I love you.
Yay!
We're done.
Let's stand up. Say what you want to say.
Just in closing, the end of that 2 Corinthians 3, I think is so beautiful, where he says, we all, with open face, behold. This is how we do it. Here's the how-to. We all, with open face, behold as in a glass.
As in a mirror.
Looking in a mirror. This is where we're going to figure this out. Because you're never going to see God anywhere if you don't see him in the mirror. You'll never see the oneness we're talking about. You'll never hear the Spirit. You'll never hear the Word of God. You can read the Bible from Genesis to the maps, but you'll never hear the Word of God until you can look in that mirror and speak it out your mouth and hear it and know that you are it. It says, we with open face. I helped a lady open a restaurant in Waco, Georgia. Her name is Big Mama. It's strange that her mother named her that because she ended up being a large woman. And or maybe that's just a nickname. I'm not sure. But maybe she called her big and she became big because she was only like 8 pounds at birth. But Big Mama, she cooks a wonderful array of food, the best you've ever had. And we were in there having lunch one day. I took some friends in there, and she writes the menu up on the wall. And one of her items that day was an open-faced roast beef sandwich. And a friend of mine, in ordering his food, she came out to take the order because her waitress was busy smoking something out in the parking lot. So she took her order, and he said, "Can I get number two with a top on it?" And she said, "Oh, no, child. There's a reason it's open face. I want you to see what's on the inside." And as she said that, it stirred that thing in me that jumps and does that little tingly thing. Said, "I want you to see what's in it, because I use the very best roast beef, and to hide it under a piece of bread would be a sin and a shame. So I will serve it to you, and I'll even bring you a piece of bread on the side, but it's an open face roast beef sandwich for a reason." And Paul said, "We all with open face behold, and we see as in a mirror." Listen, as we're all changed into the same image. I'm going to be what you're going to be, and I am what you am, and we are what we are, and we haven't seen it yet. And if we ever saw it, how could we discriminate or marginalize or hate any other human being? If we're clearly looking in that mirror, we are the same image, the same. But the only way you're going to get there is to have an open face and be willing to look. And sometimes you look into somebody's open face and there's gravy and there's chipped onions and there's mysterious green things that I don't, chives or cilantro, I don't know what's it. But there may be things you don't even recognize. But the level of relationship I enjoy with you, Bishop, is because for 36 years you've looked at me with an open face. And I was able to show you my open face, and you didn't care. It didn't bother you. You still called. I told him some stuff about myself, and he still texts me back when I text him. Something might be wrong with him, but it's because I'd have quit texting me at some point. But to be able to look at, if you have a person in the world or two or three that you can look at with open face, you're so blessed. But we're going to be able to do that with every other human being. With all the outside stuff, no bread on top, just look straight into the meat of this thing, that's when we're going to be in that same image. And it might surprise you what it looks like, because it's not a Jewish grandpa sitting on a chair that we're trying to turn into. It's just sparklers of love and magic blessings. I love you. Thank you.
Robert Rutherford. That was fantastic, bud. So good. Scott, Lindsay, y'all bring the baby. Let everybody see the babies. I just want, since y'all are here today, I won't go in a lot of detail, but let me tell you, this is a miracle. We came here. Yeah, come on. Come on. Wesley Joe's a miracle. And this is James, and this is Mance. Look at you guys. So cute. Some of you may know a little bit about their story, but y'all been married how long? A long time. And they were told they couldn't have children, and that's, I'll just leave it at that. And I remember last year or so ago, Avery and I were at Paris on Ponce planning the Christmas thing, and I saw Scott had posted, like, we're having a baby. I said, y'all gonna have to wait. I had to go call. I said, "What are you speaking faith, or like what's going on?" And just the fact, let me tell you, we were at a movie here the other night, and Judah and Stacy came in and said, "Scott and Lindsay are down here seeing a movie." So we ended up getting to sit down with them and I ask them a zillion questions. It is such a miracle. They got not just one, but two. And they're, I love that. Hey, I feel like I know you. Jordan's own. That's so cute. They didn't ask me to do this, but just stretch your hands toward these sweet babies. And come on, Wesley Joe. Absolutely, absolutely. God, we thank you. We thank you for Wesley Joe. We thank you for James. We thank you for Mance. We thank you for this miracle that they are. I speak blessings over them and good things into their lives and health and peace and prosperity. Yes, I do. That's what I do. That's what I do. I speak success and life and strength and happiness and every good and perfect blessing to come on you in abundance. I speak a blessing over this household. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And everybody in agreement with that said, amen, amen. Tell them how much we appreciate them being here today. I'm so proud of you. Yes, I do. Oh, I'm so glad I got to do that. I just had to sneak it up on you before you had a chance to ask or not ask. Here, I'm going to dedicate that baby. Oh, what a good day. Robert, thank you so much. Robbie Joe, thank you so much for being here. Wesley Joe, thank you for your magic blessings. We received them. They really made a difference. Sometimes you get a chance to hear their testimony. I mean, it's just extraordinary, the miracle that's happened. Doc, you got anything you want to say? Just add your amen. Always glad when you're here. Let's see. Let me just please remain standing. Let me run this, and then I'll speak a blessing on everybody and let you get out of here.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy. Simply text the amount you would like to give to 404-620-5044. And now you can give anytime by texting this number. You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive. Complete the form and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab, then my online donation. When you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment in Metron.
If you're making a check, just make it to JESM and Danny will be back there to receive it. If you have cash, just pay it forward, take it. You might want to just bless Robert, Robbie Joe, buy their lunch, or if Marshall's been a blessing to you this week, you want to put a little something in his pocket. I always pay my singers, but I don't mind giving them a little tip on the way out as well. Also, check out Corey's website. What is the website? Check out her stuff. It's really beautiful, and you would like it. And it's Bones and Blooms. Bones and Blooms. And it's very very innovative stuff. And I love those guys a way whole lot. This was good today, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's just really good. I have a satisfied mind. You're going to have a beautiful day today. Get some rest. Enjoy some nature. Get some fresh air. Eat something good for lunch. Say something positive to somebody. Don't waste your time in stress and strife and pettiness. It doesn't matter. Let stuff go. Just realize how beautiful you are and how valuable you are. Behold God with an open face. I just speak good things into your life. Get a good night's sleep. Have a productive week. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your day. Enjoy what you do. If you don't like your world, change it. Create a new one. Create a new world for yourself. You have that creative ability. Speak your new world into existence. You do have what you say. God is perfecting that which concerns you. And you wake up tomorrow saying, this is the day the Lord has enabled me to make. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless you. Go in peace. Love you so much.